Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. This is Dr. Tarun Agrawal, better known as T-Bone, with the T-Bone Speaks podcast. And today we are going to do part two of our episode with Dr. Heath Brantley from Wendell, North Carolina. We initially sat down in the hopes of doing a single podcast episode, but our conversation was so good that we ended up recording two episodes, and now we're ready for part two. So be sure, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, go ahead and download it and listen to it now, and then catch us on part two right now with Dr. Heath Brantley.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agrawal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
So what kind of CE have you taken?
Almost all of my CE has been very technologically oriented in general. Some of that has to do with being in close proximity to you, working for
my kids and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Right, you're welcome.
I'm sure you've appreciated it too.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's been worth it or wouldn't keep coming.
Right.
You know, I just recently signed up for your one in June.
My sedation class,
sedation,
yeah.
So. You know, that's kind of going to be my focus.
I was shocked that you're not doing sedation, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm doing it with someone else coming in and doing IV.
Okay.
But I will.
And you'll still use that, by the
way. And I will. There's very select patients that we kind of queue up for that.
Okay.
But there's a lot that I think could benefit from oral sedation that I'm kind of not currently giving them an option.
Right.
You know, it's a model.
Which is, so sedation, by the way, is right in your wheelhouse, Heath, because it's, number one, it meets your criteria of, is it good for the patient? The answer is hell yes.
Right.
Okay, and then it's really in the criteria, is it good for you? And the answer is, oh God, yes.
Yeah.
Because it takes away so much stress about how fast you got to work.
Right.
Like, oh my God, my patient's awake, and they're going to see me going to do two hygiene checks.
Right.
There are times when I take a 30, 40 minute break on patients.
Yeah.
Because I just need it. No, because I need it sometimes, right?
Right.
Like sometimes they're just hard cases. I need a break.
Right.
You know, they're just mentally challenging. And all right, so a lot of your tech, a lot of your CE has been around the technology, how to advance your use of the technology. So describe to me, what are you doing with your CEREC machine? Because most people buy a CEREC machine, they do crowns with it.
Right.
What are you doing with your CEREC machine?
Everything. So everything you've taught me to do.
Besides, what is that? Let's tell our listeners what is that.
So obviously you do the crowns.
Crowns.
That's the easiest.
Onlays, veneers, and then all your restorations.
Yes.
Bridges.
Yes.
Okay, Maryland bridges?
Yes, a lot.
Okay,
a lot. I provisionalize almost all of my front teeth with that.
Okay, for your implants?
Well, yeah, but just for everything. Even they're figuring out long-term solution.
Okay.
We do a Maryland bridge, and they hold up really well.
Okay, what else do you do with them?
So all my implant planning pretty much goes through the CEREC, because that's the way
I virtual planning?
Yeah, digital wax-ups. I plan the actual fixture itself under the tooth. I do all of my full mouth impressions with it.
Okay.
I've recently started doing partial impressions with it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What about implant guides?
I'm doing the CEREC guide too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful about implant restorations?
Yeah. Always. So I'm taking my impression on the day of surgery, and I just leave it queued up for 6 weeks to get through the healing phase, and then I go ahead. I trust it at this point. I just mill it and have it in their case band.
And it works.
And it works.
That's amazing. You know, I tell so many CEREC owners and home beam owners is, you know, they say, what should I do? What CE? I'm like, listen, just take CE around the technology. Mm-hmm. You know, learn how to do restorations at a high level. Mm-hmm. Learn how to do orthodontics with your machine. Mm-hmm. Learn how to do implantology with your machine. Learn how to do sleep with your machine. Right. You know, this the technology at the end of the day is it's a platform for practice growth. Mm-hmm. Is really what CEREC is. Mm-hmm. I can't speak to all CAD-CAM machines, right. But CEREC is certainly that. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. It touches every phase of dentistry.
And it continuously grows.
Right.
I mean, just think, from when you... So 5 years ago was your first experience with CEREC.
Right.
It's very different today in terms of what it can do from 5 years ago.
Yeah, even when I purchased, CEREC Ortho was coming out and all of that stuff. And just the ability.
And sleep didn't exist at that time.
Exactly.
You know?
It's just rapidly.
Yeah, when you purchased, CEREC Guide 2 probably didn't exist either.
It was just about to come out. Right. Like if I'd waited a couple months, I probably would have gotten something better with my purchase.
So it's amazing, isn't it? But all of these things are just software upgrades.
Right.
Right? It's not like you've changed hardwares, have you? Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing.
It is.
What's your number one challenge? What questions you got for me?
So let's talk about challenges real quick. So I would say the first thing is just believing in yourself. Because you'll, as a practice owner, you'll make a decision for a direction to take the practice. And inevitably, you'll hit a bump in the road. And it'll make you question yourself. Is this right for the practice? Is it not? Did I make a horrible mistake? My advice to that challenge would be just sleep on it. You know what I mean? Just don't overreact. If you believe in it, then you'll probably believe in it tomorrow. Just keep going forward with it, right? Because it's not easy, right? Right? You can't do a single thing in your office that's 100% predictable every time. So when you get technology, I hear people say, well, I thought CEREC was right for me, but, and then they find some reason it's not, and it's because their first CEREC crown was harder than something they've done 1,000 times the other way.
It was.
Right? And so that's normal. Your first crown was probably even harder than the CEREC crown was because you've never prepped one before.
You know, it's interesting you say that and trust your vision and things. I want to share a story with you and the listeners. I think sometimes one of the mistakes that we make is we listen to the people around us too much. Mm-hmm. And it's okay and it's prudent to listen to those around us who have been there and done that or are in the same position that we're in. Mm-hmm. But too many times we're listening to our team members who are around us, who are socioeconomically different, who by definition are averse to owning a business and running a small business. Mm-hmm. And we listen to them too much. Mm-hmm. And I believe in building the practice around you. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. And the example I wanted to give was, and it's non-dental related. My father-in-law bought a house on the water in Florida and back in 2001. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was a small house next to him that was available for $300,000. Mm-hmm. And when he was there with his team members, he said, should I go ahead and buy that too? And they're like, no, that's a waste of money. You shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And that lot today is worth $3 million, right? Uh-huh. And he always said to me, he said, the mistake I made was, it's not that I don't need to listen to those around me, but I need to keep in mind the mindset of those around you.
Right.
So if you're around very conservative people and very afraid people, then you need to stick to your guns a little bit more if you really believe that it's the right decision to make. That's kind of along your lines there.
Right. Yeah, and I would say, I would just take another step further in your practice. If you commit fully to whatever change you're doing, the team normally gets behind you and pushes. If you're a little
especially if you're convicted.
Right, yeah. If you're wishy-washy and you go back and forth and you make a bunch of exceptions about the technology, I use it here and not here, that gives the team an out.
Right. And then they'll find a way to, people will go to the path of least resistance.
Right. Exceptions break systems.
They do. You know, I call it being firm in principle, flexible in procedure. Mm-hmm. My principle is we're digital practice.
Right.
Okay.
That's good.
Now, we can decide to take 10 minutes to do it. We can decide to take 5 minutes to do it. And there are times when we don't do it. But we set up everything with the intention of doing it this way.
And that's the goal.
And that's the goal, right? And so far, 98% of the time, that's how we do it. What are some other challenges you could talk to us about? What's on your mind right now? What's holding you back?
I think right now I'm not finding enough time to spend time developing vision. Like, okay. I'm very good about, in dental school, you think, what's your practice going to be like? Where am I going to be at? You kind of have an idea right along where you want to be. My problem right now is I've kind of obtained a lot of the things within my vision. Like, my vision was a little too narrow.
Well, it was based on what you thought you could achieve at the time.
So where I'm at right now is trying to buy some time back so that I can actually step back and think about, what does the next 5 years look like? What does the next 10, even 20, 30? But I typically am a medium-term goal kind of person. Long-term, I haven't thought about that much.
But you need to start thinking about your long-term a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, on that line, so I bring goal planning into outcome-based, okay? Not necessarily goals, but what I want as the outcome. And I think your short-term goals should always be about survival and economics. And in the beginning, that takes up 80% of all your thoughts, is about, what does it take to survive? We have medium-term goals, which are all about creating diversity and flexibility in our lives so we can make choices that allow us to achieve big goals. And in the beginning, that's about 10% of our life. And then we have our long-term goals, which is all about freedom, which is all about satisfaction and freedom, right?
Right.
And that in the beginning should be 10%.
Right.
And see, I think the biggest thing, and I think this is where you're at, Heath, is you've got to make it now to where, or you're probably at this point now where the survival part of it should only take up 25% of your life. In other words, survival should be pretty clockwork now, right?
Yeah.
Show up. And then what you should do is you should take that remaining 66% and start dividing it into more medium-term goals and where I think I want to be. And then start putting a little bit towards your long-term thinking. And as you have that mindset, as those things that are medium-term right now will become short-term goals, because survival becomes easy. Because what I've seen about you is, personally, you live pretty frugally. You're not spending a lot of money on your personal life. You're not buying big fancy houses. You're not, you know, doing all of these things, because you keep reinvesting in yourself, which I believe is the number one thing you can invest in. So just always think about that. And remember that you're the average of the five people you hang out with. So always, you know, be the dumbest person in the room. That's the best way to get better. And just start focusing on some of those freedom and flexibility goals, and you'll get farther. You're suffering from working in your practice disease versus working on your practice disease. And I know one of the steps you've taken to deal with that is bringing in an associate. Did you think you'd be this close to an associate already?
No. 3 years ago, no. I didn't even know that I would have an associate.
Ever.
Like, I just, you know, I'll maybe get super busy 10 years from now or something. But I'm at the point now where, you know, I have to deflect and send the patient somewhere else, either on my schedule 4 weeks later, or I have to send them to an associate, or I have to refer, because I just can't get it done.
So what made you want to get an associate?
I think some freedom, getting some of that time back to step back and reevaluate my goals and what I'm doing. Is it going to be life in the dental chair always, or is there life outside of the dental chair, or is there career stuff outside of the dental chair?
But still within dentistry.
But within dentistry, because that's what I'm trying to do.
Right. Yeah. Because I know one of the things you want to do is you want to speak more, you want to do more training.
Yep.
You want to do a lot of those things, and having to be tied to the chair 4.5 days a week isn't conducive to that.
Yeah, can't really do.
Or having a life.
Right. True.
You know.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at right now.
So talk us through the associate process.
Sure. So
what was your fear going into looking for an associate?
Well, is there enough work to go around? You always worry about that. We're busy, but is it just busy for me? Is it busy enough to support two people? So that was probably the biggest thing. But then I started to realize that when there are gaps in the schedule, all of a sudden there are things to do. So what I mean by that is, I was so busy that I was never able to really do same day treatment on people because we're slammed. However, every day we have emergencies walk in and they're willing to pay to get their crown.
Sure, they're not just willing to pay, they're preferring to get it done today.
Right.
I mean, most people take a half day off work just to get something evaluated.
Yep.
They go in with the mindset, no matter what you tell them on the phone, they go in with the mindset that I'd like to get it done today.
So what I'll tell you is, before I committed to an associate, like full time, I experimented first, right?
Okay.
I used the office as a laboratory.
Right.
So what I did was, I paid random temps to come in. Temps that I knew, but I basically paid them to do stuff I didn't want to do.
Right.
So, hey, I'm And then those emergencies would come in, who, let's say they did need a root canal crown.
Then they'd boom.
And then I deflected my filling to them for that hour.
Right.
And then I did my root canal crown. And what I found is almost every time I did that, somehow a crown or two fell into my schedule.
It's amazing.
Every day. And so it was well worth paying attempt just to show up and check hygiene when, yeah. And that happened almost every time. Like we would go 30, 40% over daily's goal. Mm-hmm. Just having another set of dentist hands to check hygiene and not interrupt me or do a filling and so I could get to the...
Yeah. You know what you just experienced?
What?
It's what I call the cost of opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, is I tell my associate, Dr. Leedy, when we were bringing on another associate, right. I said to him, I said, your goal is to be 75% booked. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like I was nuts.
Right.
And I go, because if you book at 75%, that last 25% will book at the best rates possible.
Yes.
It's kind of like an airplane, correct?
Yep.
You know, they book up to so much and then they start raising their prices on the rest. Mm-hmm. And at dentistry, we can't raise our fees necessarily, yep. But what happens is instead of putting fillings in there, we put root canals, we put crowns, we put implants, we put rocks in there, correct?
Yep.
And so what you experience is the same thing I experienced with associates is that suddenly I had time to develop a different part of my practice.
Right.
That produced even more for the practice.
Yes, so I did that a full 10, 12 times where I just hired random temps to come in and do that. And again, we were going 30, 40% over goal every time I did that because I had the freedom now.
Right.
And so I was like, well, this associateship, it may be about more than just, am I booked out X number of weeks?
Right.
Is my schedule gonna get watered down?
In other words, you're hindering your growth
yes.
from a capacity issue.
Yes. And so once I kind of trusted that, because I tested it, and that's relatively cheap. Pay a dentist 10 times.
$600-$700.
Right? You're not committed to them. You know, you're not making them leave a job.
It's like going on dates.
Yes. And then they go on with their life, and you say, well, associateship wasn't for me. I can't handle it. Or I really like that. And then, so now I'm at that point where I have a full-time associate.
And you didn't expect that?
Not 3 years out.
No.
3 years into my practice, I should say. Yeah.
And you didn't expect even to have an associate full-time. You would think that maybe I'd do it part-time.
Yeah, because I told you a year ago, hey, how do we...
We talked about this a year ago.
Yeah, we do it part-time. You told me just do full. And I said, can't do it. What if my schedule gets watered down?
And what did I tell you?
You said, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. And I didn't. Yeah. Like, I tested it, but in my way to do it.
Everybody has to go through their own process,
right?
Because if you had done it just what I said and it didn't work...
It'd be your fault.
It'd be my fault, right?
I learned that about patient care, too, right?
So, it's, you know, exactly. When you tell somebody
to
do something,
your problem, and then when they choose to do it, it's not me talking to you. Today.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Heath, you're awesome.
I don't know.
What would you tell, what would you be your number one advice to young dentists, older dentists, whatever it is out there? What would you tell them is your number one advice to your key to success?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
I think vision, and just in general, like people don't spend enough time thinking about where they want to go. They just kind of make snap decisions. They're very kind of distracted by whatever in their life. So just take time, whether it's quarterly or yearly, to like review yourself. You know, there's different programs out there that will kind of rate you, so to speak. You get different people to kind of rank you in different categories, and I think they call it 360 review or something like that. But you can do it just by yourself too, or your spouse or whoever, and just really think, where do I want to go, and is what I'm doing this past year getting me there?
Right.
And just, you know, you don't have to get there all at once, step by step, you know, and you'll eventually get there, but you have to evaluate where you're going, otherwise you'll be lost.
I'll add a caveat to that. Mm-hmm. I think almost everybody has a vision, mm-hmm. or they had a vision.
Right.
I think the biggest challenge is people don't reevaluate the vision mm-hmm. based on current life circumstances or current trajectory. Mm-hmm. Imagine if your vision, you stuck to what you believed 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right? You'd be where you believed you'd be mm-hmm. because you never reevaluated along the way.
Right.
And, you know, the second caveat I would say to that is when people do their annual planning mm-hmm. or their goal setting for the year, most people end up doing that in January. And quite frankly, it's too late.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I do my annual planning for 2019 in August. Mm-hmm. And what I'll do towards the middle to end of August, and when it's a slower time at the office, mm-hmm. is I'll look at what were my goals for 2018, mm-hmm. where am I on track for those, and what do I have to do in the last quarter to set myself up to hit the ground running yeah. in 2019?
Yeah.
Because by the time you plan in January, it's really March or April before you kind of implement mm-hmm. some of those things.
Yeah.
Before you know it, half the year's gone, life gets in the way. So it's about timing as well, yeah. when you do these things.
Yeah. Being intentional, right?
Like, well,
you know 2019 is coming.
Yeah,
and prepare for it.
It's coming the same time every
right,
year,
right?
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, think about it. We're almost halfway through the year now.
I can't believe it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be hitting next year. 2019 will be 20 years out of dental school.
Wow. Can't believe it, huh?
No, I can't. I still think of myself as a youngish dentist. Mm-hmm. You know, 20 years out of dental school. That's a long time.
That's solid.
That's a long time. Yeah. I can't believe I'm still in it.
No.
I can't believe I haven't lost my license yet.
Right. Well, you're doing smart things to take care of, you know, your body and your mind.
I've hardly taken care of my body.
Your spine.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not working. You're not chained to the chair 5 days a week.
No, I'm not.
And you're economically free enough to yeah. step back to 3 days like you are.
And I want to address that a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
I'm not economically free. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm economically flexible.
Okay,
and there's a significant difference between economic flexibility and economic freedom. Mm-hmm. Economic freedom means I don't have to work. Economic flexibility means I can choose how I work
and when.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I have to work.
Right.
Okay. And I think too often we're chasing this economic freedom mm-hmm. or life freedom. And I don't think that really exists, to be quite honest with you. I mean, for a few, chosen few, mm-hmm. okay, for a lucky few, for an intentional few mm-hmm. who make millions and millions of dollars in doing something, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe freedom exists. Mm-hmm. But I'm very happy with economic flexibility mm-hmm. because it allows me to choose that maybe I don't want to work
right.
10 weeks less this year, or maybe I want to work a lot this year. Maybe I want to do free dentistry, or maybe, you know what, I want to take a week off every month, or maybe I want to do this type of dentistry and I'm willing to go through the pain. Like I was sharing with you that we're up to doing like a hybrid, two hybrids a month now. And part of that is the intention of what it takes to get there, right? It means I have to have time on my schedule to actually do that. So I block out the time on my schedule. And that economic flexibility that I have allows me to make those choices.
And it all kind of snowballs.
It does. Right. It's like you were saying about this flywheel concept, right? Or the wheel concept.
Yeah.
When you first push on this wheel, it's hard. But once you get a little bit of momentum, it just takes a little push here and there to get there.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed our conversation.
I appreciate the distinction. Yeah. We do the word freedom out a lot.
Yeah, freedom is...
Freedom's
hard. Mm-hmm. Flexibility is... It's a minor distinction.
Yeah. And that's attainable.
Flexibility is not... It's not that it's attainable. Yeah. It's a must.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I see too many dentists in their 50s and 60s that have no flexibility. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous. For a lot of reasons, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I was fortunate for me that I knew flexibility was a must for me because we have rheumatoid arthritis in our family. We have so many things in our family that I know that my hands 5 or 10 years from now won't be what they are today or what they were 5 years ago. So I had to make distinct decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, and quite frankly, all of us, we don't know what tomorrow holds.
Right.
You know, we don't know a lot of those things.
So. Everybody would benefit from flexibility.
Or planning for it.
Planning for it, at least. Yeah. So I got a couple questions.
Absolutely. What you got for me?
So, first one being CE, what are you taking this year?
It's a good question. So, I've moved from my new phrase I'm coining is I've gone from worrying about my ROI to focusing on my SOI. Mm-hmm. What do you think that means?
So something.
No. So the SOI means sleep, ortho, and implants.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I think the real ROI in a practice is focusing on the SOI. So I'm focused on how we grow our sleep business, how we grow our ortho business, and how we grow our implant business. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I've done in each of those categories, besides taking initial training for myself and my team, is I've assigned an individual champion of each of those business units in our practice. So Liz is my sleep champion. Meredith will be our ortho champion, our Invisalign champion in our case. And Whitney, my main chairside assistant, is our implant champion.
Right.
And so that's everything I'm doing is focused around SOI. Mm-hmm. So right now for me, the big thing is the ortho component. Mm-hmm. And I don't even do the ortho, but I have to drive it for our practice. So we're focused on what does it take to do more Invisalign cases. And I know dentistry is down on Invisalign, or many dentists are down on Invisalign because of Smile Direct Club or some of the rules they've implemented. But I look at Invisalign as a $22 billion company, the most valuable company in dentistry. Mm-hmm. Did you realize that?
No, I did not.
$22 billion. That's Invisalign is the value of Dentsply Sirona and Henry Schein combined.
Wow. Oh, no idea.
Right. So why would I not want to partner with a company like that?
And it'll be around.
It'll be around, or they're driving consumerism. Okay. And
direct consumer marketing has been huge for them.
Even if it, even when Clear Choice markets, that helps me.
Yeah.
Right. When I market, it helps you.
Yeah.
Right. When you market, it helps me. You know, it's all of
industry
that.
Industry as a whole.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I want to partner with a company like that. Okay.
Awesome.
So my focus is SOI on the CE that we're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And then sedation. I want to do IV sedation this year.
So you're gonna try to do that.
But I'm not, that won't happen this year. That's going to be intentional for 2019. Okay. But I'm going to register this year for next year so I can have
schedule.
It. If we don't schedule it, it's not going to happen.
Cool. Awesome. That's good. I was going to say, so this is a personal question for me. You do some speaking, you do some lecturing, you have your own center for teaching dentists how to use CEREC and things. You also are a practice owner, you're also a dentist in the practice. So you have multiple income streams.
Right.
So how do you manage that in your own practice checking, different
things? So it's a convoluted answer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so number one, there has to be good accounting systems out there to do it. So let me kind of go through that, okay? So one thing I try to do, and this is for me personally, because this is how my brain thinks, is every income source I have has its own checking account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now whether it's its own LLC, whether it all runs with a practice on a tax report wise, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, my speaking income goes into its one bank account.
Okay.
My training income, my 3D dentist income goes into its own bank account.
Mm-hmm.
My practice income goes into its own bank account.
Okay.
Okay, so everything there, and then my non-dental income goes into its own bank account. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the other thing I've done differently than most in my practice is my practice has, I don't know the exact number, 3 or 4 bank accounts now.
Mm-hmm.
We have one where every expense goes out.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that account is for. It's all for expenses. We run a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So every month, I'll just use fake numbers. My budget's 100 grand. So every first of the month, I'll put 100 grand in that account. And it needs to last the entire month, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then all my income comes into one bank account for patient income.
Mm-hmm.
All my insurance money goes into another account.
Mm-hmm.
And then all my, in my case, medical insurance will go into another account. So this way I can keep track of how the money's coming in, allocate it out, and go
it's
that
easier
way.
For running reports to
absolutely
figuring out what's medical, what's not.
And it also allows us to keep track of the team to make sure there's no funny business going on, that our numbers match Eaglesoft, in our case Eaglesoft, or whatever practice management system people are using. So that way we can kind of keep track of everything and We know where the money. Otherwise, at some point it becomes convoluted. There's just so many transactions going on that it was difficult for me to keep up with.
Right. And lastly, so when you're not with family and you're not doing business endeavors, because I know that's fun for you. Practice is fun. Mm-hmm. What do you do outside of business, practice, and family for yourself that's fun?
Right now, it's sleep.
Mm-hmm. You rest.
I rest. You know. I'm working six and a half days a week right now. Mm-hmm. It's a sad answer, Heath. Mm-hmm. It's rest. Yeah. You know, my golf game has gone to shit.
Yeah.
I've gone from playing 60 to 70 rounds a year to playing 8 to 10 rounds a year.
Mm-hmm.
I take more time off, luckily. My wife forces me to.
Yeah.
We bought a beach house last year, so we go down there a little bit more often. Okay. And a lot of those things are out of necessity, as sad as that is, because I need something quick and easy to get away from.
Yeah.
I find that when I stay in the house, I end up going to the office.
Right.
I end up, doing things like a podcast.
Right.
You know, I end up thinking about work, and I've come to a point or realization or being forced to where I literally have to leave for me to turn off.
Turn off, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to start scheduling for golf. Start getting it on 2019.
Well, that's why I have a golf simulator.
Oh, you got your golf simulator.
So that's my replacement for golf.
Got
right?
That taken care of.
So is that? But that's not good to play here, right?
Yeah. Get out. Talk to some people.
I do.
Not even Dennis. You just talk to anybody.
Yeah, I need to. Mm-hmm. It's an area of my life that's struggling right now.
Yeah.
Is my my personal social life, my professional social life. You know, those areas in my life are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll figure it out.
We always find a way. Listen, life is like this. You have too much personal time, and then you have way not enough, and then you go to this.
Yeah.
I'm an extremes person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to find that balance. And,
right.
and I've never found balance.
It's where your scheduling is going to help.
Right. You know, we have
one day a week,
system.
I'm going to do this. Golf. Do this,
it's interesting. You had asked me about why I'm going from 3 to 2 days and skipping the two and a half. And my answer was, if I go to the office, I'll get stuck there the whole day.
Right.
I won't be able to leave.
Really
I won't choose to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I've literally got to. And my team, even now, they tell me like, this year day off, do not come in. Right.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah. Well, I hope you figure it out.
Heath, you got a good head start, my friend.
Thanks.
You're going to do some amazing things.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, amazing things. So if you are a Solea owner and you're looking to buy a laser, I think you should choose Heath Brantley as your trainer.
Yeah.
Whether it's close or not
close.
I think there's a couple of reasons why. I want to say why. Number one, you know what the hell you're doing. You have a great head on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And you're living, your practice is it. I mean, you're practicing what you preach. And that's, I take pride in that with what I do. And I think more of dentistry needs to take pride in that. We as dental consumers, which I am, when I choose to take CE, when I choose to learn, I should hold my educators up to the standard that they're doing what they say they're doing, or they're teaching me what I'm actually doing in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for stopping
by, man.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.